Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Whether it's the soft focus power rock ballad scenes of the 80s movies or the literal balls out scenes of modern day TV, some of the raunchy scenes on TV and film are memorable and iconic. We are here to count down the horniest moments in TV and films. But first, hang on, let me get that. Cue the porn music. Here are 10 horny TV and movie facts. On Normal People, when filming some of the more athletic sex scenes, Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar Jones were covered in a gel called Egyptian Magic, which made it look as if they were sweating. When they would separate from each other, the gel would make really loud fart noises, according to Paul, and he and Daisy could not stop laughing after filming had happened. During the 50 Shades of Grey films, Jamie Dornan wore a wee bag, aka a bag covering his penis, during his sex scenes with Dakota Johnson. However, when he picked out a bag, he noticed the inseam read Inmate Number 3, meaning it had been used in another film production.
Pleasure would be all mine, mate.
And when they were filming 50 Shades of Grey, Dakota taught Jamie a delicate and more sensual way to take off her underwear. When they were filming a sex scene, Jamie joked that Dakota gave him the note after he essentially pulled her underwear down very fast and in an unsexy way.
Don't you think it's always better when it means something?
On Superbad, Christopher Mintz-Plasse's mum was actually in the room when he filmed McLovin's now iconic It's In scene. Since Christopher was only 17 years old during filming, his mum legally had to be on set. I was just sitting there with my paws on, waiting for my mum to drive down to the set, Christopher recalls. She got there and I had to fake sexual intercourse in front of her.
But nobody will ever ride you like I do.
Emma Stone was super nervous to film her intimate scene with Olivia Colman for The Favourite. And Olivia's little prank made it hilarious, mortifying. Before the scene, Olivia secretly put a big wet sponge between her legs. So when Emma reached under Olivia's dress, she felt the wet sponge and was stunned.
Squeeze his ass, son. You'll like it.
Jason Biggs had to shoot his famous pie sex scene from American Pie for almost 6 hours, and he had to film multiple options and positions. Assistant director J.B. Rogers would also give Jason some pretty awkward notes like, showing not enough crack, and we can see a little bit of your penis here.
Come on, let's try something illegal.
During Game of Thrones Season 1, Jason Momoa tried to cheer up Emilia Clarke during the wedding night scene between Daenerys and Khal Drogo by wearing a pink, bright pink, super fluffy sock over his penis. He switched his usual modesty sock for the pink one when the shot was only on Emilia's face, so she tried really hard not to laugh.
It's like sucking on a Tootsie Roll Pop.
While filming a sex scene with Paul Rudd for Living With Yourself, Ailing B's nipple pasties fell off while they were doing one long shot. In order to shield her nipples from the 20 crew members, Ailing had to put Paul's hands on her boobs while they were simultaneously feeling around for Ailing's pasties, which somehow ended up stuck to her butt. The improvised boob covering moment hilariously made the final cut. Oh dear me, I don't know anybody. Oh, it's still going. I don't know anybody else, but I'm feeling hot already. Goodness me. So please don't blame me for the subject for this week's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you, comedian Michelle Brazier. Yay!
Hi.
How are you?
I am already feeling like I've made a huge mistake. I'm also feeling like 6 hours is too long to fuck a pie. Like, is that just me or?
I mean, I would say don't knock it until you've tried it, for one thing.
I haven't tried it.
6 hours of doing anything is too long, is what I say.
6 hours of doing anything is too long.
Yeah.
I agree.
6 hours eating pie. Oh, no. See, that even sounds... That even sounds bad. But anyway.
I know. I've taken us to a terrible place. I just wanted to talk about telly.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And I'm absolutely, to be fair, I am fascinated to see what you've got in your top 10 because it. I don't know about you, but I was looking at my top 10 and I thought it would genuinely be just all sex scenes from movies. But it's not. I've got that in few, but a few of them I've just got like moments of things that I can remember, especially being a lot younger. And thinking that was the sort of thing that really made me go, whoa, you know, it's that kind of thing. Now, how did you, what about your top 10? Did you, what, how did you come across your, your top 10?
I think there were some that I knew. There were some that I was just like, I just know these. Cause like I write for film and TV. So I was like, whenever I'm trying to write something sexy, I reference these scenes. And then there were some things that were like deep cuts that I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting about my childhood. Okay, cool, sure. Like, I learned a lot about myself.
I feel this is going to be a bit like a psychological session as well. We're going to learn a lot about each other, Michelle, in the next hour or so.
Gonna have to unpack.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you said before we started recording, I don't want to give too much information away, but you're actually like recording this from your bed because it's 6 a.m.
Yes.
Where you are at the moment, isn't it? So that's the reason.
It's 6 a.m. Yes, I'm in Los Angeles. City of Angels. Ever heard of it?
Yes, I just slightly heard of it. Yeah. And can we find out why you're there? Or is it one of those show busy things where you're not allowed to say anything about what you're doing?
No, it's all good. I'm here. I'm touring. I've actually finished my shows now, so I'm done. So I'm free to do all the 6 a.m. podcasts that I... my heart begs for. But yeah, I've just been touring, doing shows in New York and LA. I did a run off Broadway, which was so cool. And then now I'm in LA. I just played Dynasty Typewriter, which was really cool. So
nice.
I'm having a real dream. Last night I was like a guest at UCB. It was like just like a tour of childhood dreams, really. It's been really nice. I keep saying to everybody, like, if this is some sort of like Make-A-Wish Foundation for a sick kid and I don't realize that I'm the sick kid, like, don't tell me. Just don't tell me.
No.
I'm quite happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are coming over to the UK and Ireland, is it May and June with your show?
Yes. Yes, I can't wait. With my show, it's called Reform. It's a true story about I was scammed online by a man, and instead of going to the police, I became his friend and eventually his emergency contact. So that's the kind of gal I am, I guess. Really smart and clever.
So I suppose it's the kind of thing that you don't really want to say too much about what the show is, because the whole beauty of the show is learning when you're at the show.
There are lots of twists. There are lots of turns. And like, I really do like the audience to come with the sort of, you know, with as little information as possible, because I love it. They always scream no. Like when I make decisions, as the story goes, they're like, no. I'm like, well, I can't change it now, babe.
I was going to say, they've got a power over what's going to actually happen, like a choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Exactly. And truly, I get it. I get where they're coming from.
Well, we will talk a bit more about that. I will let everybody know that the link for tickets are in the show notes. So if you want to get tickets, I will recommend going on YouTube and just having a little quick look at some of the, because you've got some of the bits of the show up on YouTube, haven't you?
And it's you can see some little bits and pieces, some songs. And...
Yeah, it is quite funny. It is. It's like it'd be hilarious to see a whole show of it. Right, before we actually start, we need to do the new feature, which I've got to get. Let me just get it plugged in. So we're going to do this. Oh, God. See, you see what I mean? I'm just not. I'm all over the place. Here we go.
Lisa's Challenge.
So basically.
Basically what this is we're going to try and work out how many duplicates we're going to get between our two top tens. Now, you're the guest, so you can choose first between obviously one and 10, how many do you think that I've got in my top 10 that you've got in yours?
Okay, looking at my top 10, I reckon between zero, maybe two.
Okay, so what do you want to go for specifically? Because I'm going to choose a number as well.
Let's go two.
You're going to go two. Okay, I'm going to go zero. I don't think there's going to be any. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't, because I also feel that we're of different ages, so I feel that I've got some that will be like that when it was my sort of time of discovering that kind of thing, which was a lot longer, I'm sure, than when a long time ago, Michelle. It was a long, 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 long time ago.
Okay,
but we will talk. I want to talk more about your show, but we'll do that a little bit later on. We'll get some of the other business out of the way first. Give us your number 10 horniest moment in TV and movies, please.
Okay, my number 10, and this is already, we're just definitely not going to be on the same page. In Fast 10, which should be called Fast 10, Your Seatbelts, the 10th installment of Fast and Furious.
How did they miss that?
I know.
That is genius.
My number 10. Yeah, it is genius.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You. I'm in LA, baby. It's very funny. I've been going to all these meetings. Like, you know, my friend Sam from Arnie Donna, we're here and we're like touting out all these projects to TV people and they're really excited. But I really should be like scolding Hollywood on not making Fast 10 happen. That's what I really should be doing.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, sorry, I apologize for interrupting, but that was genius. So
no, you interrupted to give me a compliment. That's important.
I don't know why they don't just give you the keys to Hollywood with that. It's just like, it's there.
I think they should.
They should.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think they will. They'll come in the mail, I assume. Yeah. So in Fast 10, Your Seatbelts, Jason Momoa is painting his toenails with his hair in pigtails. And he's like, he's surrounded by these like men that he's killed. I don't know what's wrong with me, but this is my number 10 and I'm so sorry. I can't.
No, don't ever apologize. Don't apologize.
He's just really cheery and like having a lovely time stealing Dominic Toretto's money on his little telephone and painting his little toes in a robe.
I haven't seen the movie, but I have seen that clip and it is one of the strangest things I think I've ever seen.
It's just so shocking. I don't know what it is. And like, I don't like feet. It's not the feet. It's I think it's the pigtails and on a very masculine man. And the silliness. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. There is something about Jason. I mean, I hear this from my wife because she's a big Jason Momoa fan. She absolutely loves everything about him. I mean, every single inch of him, I think she absolutely loves. But there is that. He's definitely got that movie star quality, hasn't he, Jason Momoa?
Oh my God, he does. I saw him on the street once in London and I'd never get starstruck. Like I try to avoid famous people unless I'm like working with them because I don't know how to talk to them and I just feel insane. But I saw him and I lost my whole human mind and I just kept saying out loud, Momoa. Like I just was like pointing to him and saying over and over again, Momoa, Momoa, Jason Momoa. He was standing in the street drinking a Guinness next to this classic car and I kept screaming Momoa. And then I like went into this theater and I went to buy a drink before I went into the show and I was like, I'm so sorry. We've just seen Jason Momoa. Like I couldn't stop telling everyone. And then I went on my phone to find out what's he doing in London. Like, and he had just posted something like shared a respectful post about 9/11 because it was 9/11. And I walked out of the bathroom and I was like, Jason Momoa drinking a Guinness next to a classic car, posting about 9/11. Guys, come on. Like,
I'm sure you're hearing me. Yeah.
It was crazy. It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I was really surprised that my brain just kept saying his name. I couldn't stop.
So is that the only time that you've seen him or have you seen him again and sort of, and he did he recognize you? That was what I'd love to know is that you were the girl
I'm not allowed to be near him.
You're not allowed?
Yeah, no, I'm not allowed to be near him anymore. No.
Right. And I take it that's from the police have told you that you're not allowed near him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I got some phone calls. No, I truly like, and you know, that if I ever meet that man, if I ever have to work with that man, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I just can't do it.
No. Is there anybody else that's like that, though? Is there anybody else off the top of your head that you feel like you would really find uncomfortable to work with because of how you feel about them?
Maybe Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, right.
Because... what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you've got a type, haven't you? Obviously, you've got a type.
But here's the thing. It's like, these aren't the men that I'm attracted to. These right. are just men that, like, I don't know. I think I want to be these men or something. Like, there's something... I think I'm a very little girl, and I think I'm like, wow, what a big person. Like, I'm just really excited by the idea of, like, a big human. Right. So anyone who's, like, big, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, what's her name? Gwendolyn Christie.
Right,
who
yeah.
Who plays Brienne of Tarth.
That's
in
right.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because she's, like, six foot five, isn't she? Something like that. I think it's 6 foot
oh
six.
Oh, my God. Not a moment goes by that I'm not thinking about her. Wow. Not a moment goes by. I'm thinking about it. I'm talking to you right now. I'm picturing her.
Right.
I am attracted to, actually. She's very beautiful. Oh, no, let's not talk about her, but anyone really tall. I'm like, fuck right. yeah, let's go.
Okay. It's funny that, because I do get, people do see me and think of Gwendolyn Christie for some reason. I don't know whether it's just the light way the light shines on me. I honestly don't know, but, okay. My number 10. Now this is for more comedic reasons. Have you ever heard of Toast of London? A Matt Berry.
I think I have heard.
Matt Berry?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
So it's a TV show that he does where he plays Toast. And there's one scene where his arch nemesis comes in for some... they start doing a voiceover for gay porn. And they have to sit opposite each other. And this is actually where the... where is it? Where... That's where that sound effect comes from, because they have to obviously sort of voice dub two men kissing, and they keep looking at each other, and Toast is very uncomfortable, and Ray Purchase is just winding him up. And I don't find it titillating or any of that. I just find it hilarious. And it's the fact that Matt Berry is just, he's a genius in my mind, Matt Berry. But it was definitely one of those ones that I looked at and I thought, I've got to put it in my top 10 just for chuckles more than anything else.
So I'll have to watch it.
It is so good. And he's an actor. It's all about living an actor's life, but it's Matt Berry kind of comedy. So if you like The Mighty Boosh and things like that, and Flight yeah. of the Conchords, that kind of comedy, it's very, very silly,
yeah,
but it's incredible. But that's my number 10. Okay, your number 9 then, please, Michelle.
My number 9 is, okay, this is a very broad one and I could not narrow it down. Alan Cumming doing anything, but more specifically, Alan Cumming in Cabaret. Are you a theater person?
I know who you mean. Yeah, I've never seen him in Cabaret, though.
Okay, so he, like, I think he had just done Cabaret when I first heard the musical when I was young, and I was like, this is... something new. This is awakening something in me. It's like, I don't know what this is, but because I was a music theater kid and then I saw this musical and I was like, okay, musicals can be sexy. What? Like, and I took it really seriously and I thought, wow, Alan Cumming, one day I'm going to marry that man. It turns out, I don't think I'm right for him.
Right.
You know, but
because he's too short. That's what it is, isn't it? It's because he's too short.
He's too short. That's the problem. Yeah, unfortunately. And I said that to him and he was very, you know, very gracious about it. He understood. He totally understood.
While he walks away crying, I can imagine.
Yeah. But he's just such a good performer. Mm. And I think, yeah, that was like one of my like weird sexual awakening moments.
I'm assuming that is he playing like the Joel Grey version from...
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, he plays the Joel Grey character, the MC from Cabaret. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one.
Thank
okay.
you.
My number 9, now this one is just raunchy, sexy time, and it is Salma Hayek and Antonio Banderas in Desperado. Now again, anything that Salma Hayek is in, I mean, it's very rare that you see anybody look better now than they did, say, 25 years ago. But Salma Hayek is just, I think, that whatever it is, she's drinking someone's blood to stay that young and hot. I don't know. But it's all very sweaty and it is like a typical sex scene where it's like sweeping zoom shots. But it's just, the fact that it's Salma Hayek, I think, and Antonio Banderas obviously isn't bad to look at as well, and they're all very tanned.
I mean, that's a great team. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, very sweaty and hair everywhere, and it's...
Yeah.
I must admit, I put a video playlist together for our Patreon subscribers. This is probably going to be the funnest video playlist I put together. It's going to probably take me 3 days and a box of tissues to do this one. It really is.
Oh, dear. Everyone's going to... Oh, God. I feel like I'm showing everyone too much of me.
that can never happen. That can never happen.
Okay, beautiful.
I'm just going to enjoy it. Put it that way. Which again sounds creepy. Okay. Let's go on to your number 8 then, please, Michelle.
My number 8. Okay, do you watch Buffy?
I don't. Although I have kind of watched it by proxy because my wife was a massive Angel, Buffy, Spike was her favorite, that kind of thing. So I've kind
Spike
of been
was
in
a
the
favorite.
Room. Yeah, that was the I was in the room,
okay.
I feel like.
Yes, you're aware. You're culturally aware of Buffy.
Exactly.
You've absorbed enough Buffy.
Exactly.
Okay. So my number 8 is in season 6, episode 9. It's called Smashed. And it's when Buffy and Spike, spoiler, sleep together. And the building, they're like fighting. And then they start fucking. And the building just falls down around them because they're like bashing into stuff, and they just like tear down this whole fucking building, and it's very dark season of Buffy, but it's just like, it's like finally she's with a man who's worthy of her time, an evil vampire. I don't know, I just loved it. It was so good. Vampires was so sexy.
Yeah. I mean, have you watched them sort of like quite recently? Do they still hold up?
I'm constantly watching Buffy. It's my comfort food. Like when I finish a show, I come home, especially if it's like a big show. Like when I did my first night, my off Broadway, I was like, right, I did it. Great. Went for some drinks with my friends, had a lovely time, was like feeling nostalgic for right now and just being like, yes. And then I was like, all right, to the bath, watch an episode of Buffy, turn off my brain. And it was really nice. That's what I do. I just get in a body of water and with a laptop and watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And just make sure you don't drop the laptop into the water, because that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good for anybody. Talking about off Broadway, when you get to a point like that, is it easy just to switch on and do the show? Or is your brain constantly going, I am here now and I'm doing this? Or could you get very professional and just get on with the show?
I think I feel normal until like right before the show, I go, Oh, okay. And then I try to like think about me as a little girl and just be like, like trying to get a message to her to be like, keep being weird, it'll work out. Like, just like, I don't know. You know, does that make sense? Like,
you just want to
like talk to yourself as a kid and be like, you're doing good, kid. Like, I know they said your hair was weird, but they're going to invent straighteners and everything's going to be okay. And the curls are going to come back and everyone's going to start scrunching their hair and pretending they have curls. And you know what? You're going to do off Broadway, you know, all that stuff, the traditional stuff. So I feel, you know, that before, then I go on and I just do the show. But then as soon as the applause happens, that's when I feel it and I go, oh, fucking hell. And like, I got a standing ovation brag and that was like, park, like this is, they see a lot of stuff here, so that I must not be an absolute piece of shit. Like, it felt really good. It was really nice.
But then obviously the people that are there, they've not been brought in like by gunpoint, have they? They are there to see you because they
some
want
of them have
oh right
some of them were brought in.
What's the percentage?
Some of them were threatened. I think the about 50 or 60% had kids, so we had their children.
Okay.
You know, we took their kids and said, you can have them back after the show. And then the rest, I think, were gunpoint. I think it was 60-40 gun to kidnap children. I think
the gun ones were probably, I think you'd class that as a win. So 40% of them were there, were sort of as they wanted to be there.
And do you know what? That's a win.
I'm taking that as an absolute win.
Taking it.
Okay, my number 8. Now, this is going to be really weird because I've not seen a single scene of this movie, this TV series, apart from this scene. So it's True Detective, and it's Alexandra Daddario and Woody Harrelson having sex. And it's only that scene I've ever seen from True Romance, because I think Alexandra Daddario is one of the most gorgeous women that has ever been created. And when somebody told me that she goes topless in it, I thought, I've got to see that scene. So I've never seen True Detective. But
Teenage boy of you.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. But as soon as I saw it, I thought, I need to see that again. So I've watched it about 5 or 6 times, and that's enough.
That's so funny. Yeah, wow, that's important for you.
I heard that True Detective is really good.
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
I've never watched it. Again, my wife watches a lot of TV. But it is it is a thing of beauty. So I thought I had to put that in there, because anything that makes you watch something from a TV show you've never watched a frame of, it has to be impressive. So yeah, I had to put that one in there.
That's true.
There you go. Okay, you're number 7 then, please, Michelle.
Okay, my number 7, and listen, just like hear me out on this, but when I couldn't, it was very hard to pick a moment in this, and you're going to see a theme sort of forming around me. I love action movies, and I couldn't pick the sexiest moment in Con Air, but I think it's like, I think Cyrus the Virus is sexy the whole time, which is John Malkovich. Yeah. He's like the bad guy. And I just, anytime he talks, it's a lot. But then also, like, I think as soon as Nick Cage has the mullet, I think I'm also on board for that. Something happened in the 80s. Was it the 80s that Con Air was made?
Con Air was the 90s. It was the 90s, yeah.
90s, yeah. Right. Something happened. I don't know, there was something in the air and everyone was just getting around in a good way, you know? And I feel like that's really captured in the beautiful film Con Air, which I've only recently seen and cannot stop thinking about.
I mean, there's one thing that, because I don't know, it seems to get, I love Con Air. When we did top 10 90s action movies, and that was up there in my top 3. It's just so, and Nick Cage is just great as an action star, because he hadn't really done stuff like that before. And he got all muscled up, and he's wearing, you know, the white vest and the long hair, and he was just so good in that movie. And
he's incredible.
If you had to choose between Cyrus the Virus or Cameron Poe, I think his name was, who would you have to side with?
Oh, listen, I don't really love a bad boy, so I think I'm going Cameron. I think I'm going, yeah, I think he's going to be a good dad.
Okay.
Well,
he wants to put the bunny in the box, doesn't he? Whatever that means. He likes to put the bunny in the box.
Put that bunny in that box. You know what I'm saying?
Bunny in the box, indeed. That's a good
Nicolas
one.
Nicolas Cage, let's
That's a good one, absolutely. And it's, again, I mean, the vest and the sweat and the muscles and that, and the hairy chest and the long hair and the stubble. And that's what you need in an action hero.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah,
stubble in the arms.
Nice. My number 7, I'm going for the movie Bound, which was by the Wachowskis, who did who did The Matrix. And it's just Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly. Jennifer Tilly is another one of those ones that is just, she's sort of like my kind of woman. I don't know what it is. Probably big boobs. I don't know. I mean, it probably is.
That's so funny. I love
it. I'm going to be honest with you, with you, Michelle. Like, you know?
Just boobies. Big, yeah. I love the Barbaras on a woman. I'm sort of an interesting man. I like a woman with a breast or two breasts.
Wouldn't that
one
be wonderful?
Good, two better. That's very nuanced and observational of you.
Or if it's Total Recall, 3 boobs. You know, I'm quite happy. I'll take 3. You know, and
yes.
I didn't quite make my
Get
top
three
10
in there.
Didn't quite make my
That's
top
okay.
10 with 3, but. it's a great movie as well. If you've never seen it, like I say, it's done by the Wachowskis that did The Matrix, and it's a really good like crime caper. Bound.
Yeah.
So if you've never, seen
I will it, watch it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I did some googling before this, and because I was like, I got to check like what everybody else thinks is horny, and then Bound kept coming up, and I was like, I do not have time to watch this, but I put it on my list of things to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of like really, really good scenes. So I would suggest just having a little look. Okay, your number 6 then, please, Michelle.
Okay, my number 6 is Killing Eve, when Villanelle has her Sandra Oh up against the fridge and she has the knife. Do you know that scene?
I know that scene. Again, I've not watched. I think I watched the first series. And then sort of, I don't kind of just sort of dropped off it, but
it's in the first season. I think it's like one of the first times they meet. You got to go back and watch it. It's crazy. The tension's amazing.
Oh, because I sort of heard that it kind of like it didn't really stick the landing for the last season. Am I right in that, or how did you feel about it?
I don't know. I don't care. So here's my thing, right? Everyone expects so much. I write for television. Everyone expects so much of you. Everyone expects everything to be perfect. Everyone expects to feel the way they felt the first time they met these characters, and they want them to be wrapped up in the way that they want them to be wrapped up. I'm like, you don't get to write the story. I don't know. Like, people just put so much pressure. Like, I've watched Doctor Who through everything, through thick and thin. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't care. It's not, I'm just enjoying it. Yeah. I don't know why people like, it has to be perfect, or it's like, oh, you ruined it. It's like, shut up. It's not yours to choose. Like, I get really annoyed when people are like, mmm. Like, do you like Ted Lasso? Are you a Ted Lasso person?
I love Ted Lasso, but I will say,
oh my God,
I thought the last series wasn't as good as the other series. I must admit.
Really?
I
love Ted Lasso. The first two seasons were
like some of the, because in a world where you had COVID and you had Trump and all this negative shit, it was so great to have a main character that just had every bone in his body was good. He was a nice, great, and he just wanted the best for everybody, even though it might not have looked like it. And it was just so refreshing those first two seasons. It really was. Not saying the last season was not good, but it just didn't. They think they set such a high bar.
Yeah, but like, they set such a high bar, so they're allowed to like chill out. Like,
I agree.
No,
I agree.
I just get mad. Everyone complains too much.
But then again, right, so we can get a little bit inside Hollywood, if you like, here. So you're a writer for TV.
Uh-huh.
Do you, when you're writing things, is there a part of your brain that is thinking, I'm not going to say that because the audience aren't going to like it? Or do you just think, fuck them, if they don't like it, that's their fault? Or there must be times when you get notes or...
Oh, I mean, you're contending with so much because you get notes from like a bunch of different people who aren't writers, like from producers and the studio or the network or whatever. And I'm lucky in Australia that like our shows hardly ever get renewed for a season two. So it's always something new. So you don't have to worry about upsetting the audience. I think like our job is to entertain.
Yeah.
And as long as it's entertaining, you know, it's good if it's about something that matters. And it's good that if it's funny and it gives people a laugh, but like, I don't know, we can take it all a little bit seriously sometimes, I think.
But is that nice when you sort of think to yourself, well, we're not going to get a series two? Is that a lot more freeing in your writing that you can think, well, we'll just go for it rather than thinking we've got to try and tick boxes or.
Yes, I just try to write the silliest thing I can, which is nice for me. It's try to be as silly as I can. And I think that's why I do live shows. And like, I often am writing for myself anyway. So once I get to set, I just will say something different, which is it's a privilege and it's rare. But yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, we're playing dress ups for a job and we need to chill out.
And I know that we're sort of flitting from the top 10 to your stuff, but I'm fascinated with like the process of writing, especially things like comedy, where you start with a blank piece of paper and you've got to put ideas on there. Do you get ideas while you're doing the show that you think, shit, that's actually better than what I'm supposed to say? And do you change it or do you just keep it to what it is?
I do. I record, especially when I'm building a show. So what I'll do is like all my shows are based on like they're all true stories that have happened to me. So I'll write out the story and do it at like a storytelling night. And I won't put any jokes. I won't deliberately put any jokes unless they sort of come to me into the story. And then I'll go and read the story that I've done in front of an audience and record it. And because I'm in front of an audience, there's this just little goblin that takes over that's like, you should be funny. And I want to make the people laugh. And so on the fly, I'm just a lot funnier. And I think of jokes in a much more organic way than I would if I was sitting at my computer or in a cafe with a notebook. And so I record those jokes and then I put them into the script and then I go to another storytelling night and I try that and I do them in sort of 10-minute chunks. I don't work my shows up in like stand-up format because they're much more storytelling.
Right.
So like when I'm doing like a type 5 or a type 10 or like, you know, a gala for telly or something, that's all me reverse engineering that 5, whereas a lot of comedians will do like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes and then put them together and work them into a show. But I sort of Frankenstein my storytelling in songs and make them. I'm really just like play acting as a comedian, when really I'm just like a theater wanker who's kind of funny. But I think I'm just better at improvising, and as soon as I'm in front of an audience, I'm always better.
That's got to be the title of your autobiography, isn't it? A theater wanker that's funny. That's got to be. It's got
to
be.
Do you know what? I have a memoir coming out in September, but it's not called that. I wonder if we can change it.
Okay, so that was your number six. My number six, I mean, it's a classic. It's Denise Richards, Neve Campbell, and Matt Dillon in Wild Things, having their threesome. And again, it's another bog standard sex scene from, I think, was Wild Things 90s, or was that it must have been 90s, I think.
I think it was 90s. I think that was about 95 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, Wild Things was, it fell off my list. But it was there.
Yeah.
It was definitely there.
I'm pretty sure anybody that has seen that movie would have it in at least in their top 15 or 20, I think, because just kind of has to be in there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, we're halfway through, so it's time for this.
Oh my gosh. Quiz, hot
shot. We're going to have a little quiz, Michelle, okay? I'm going to give you two people, and you need to tell me what movie they got jiggy in, okay?
Okay.
So here we go. Okay. Gerard Butler and Lena Headey.
Oh, the big time fun boys. I don't know what it is.
If that's not a movie, it should be. Unfortunately, not. No, it's 300. They were getting jiggy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That was almost.
The big time fun boys. This is Sparta 300. That's the whole name.
Oh, I didn't realize it had a
Australia. That's what we call it. Big time fun boys.
I'll give you a ding for that then. Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore.
Ghost. No.
It is Ghost. Well done. Yes. Jack Nicholson and Jessica Lange.
Oh my God. Okay, I didn't know this has happened, and I need to go watch this. Jack Nicholson and Jessica Lange?
Indeed. But it'll be a bit before your time, but...
Little time, sad boys. Hey, come on. Who stole my Cheez-Its?
Who stole my Cheez-Its? correct. It is Who Stole My Cheez-Its, also known as the
That's where Wallace and Gromit fucked. Sorry, I get confused.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. That says more about me than I should have said. It was actually The Postman Always Rings Twice. It was a remake of the
I've never heard
40s
of that in my
movie.
Life.
Yeah. But I'll give you that one. And I'll give you a ding as well for the small boy Cheez-Its fucking movie, whatever it was
Thank
called.
You.
Mark Wahlberg and Julianne Moore.
Oh my God. I don't know. Jeez, I've seen no sex scenes.
You really
have in my entire life.
Apart from Mark Wallace Wahlberg. And Gromit.
Is it Mark Wahlberg that's in Boogie Nights? No.
I'm going to give you that. It is Boogie Nights. Yeah, it is.
Oh my God, that's Mark Wahlberg?
That is Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
With the dick? That's Mark Wahlberg.
That is.
I love
don't think
Magnolia.
It's actually.
I mean, I love Boogie Nights. Oh my God, kill yourself. I also love Magnolia. I love both
Magnolia. Magnolia
is
great, but. But yeah, Mark Wahlberg, Julianne Moore, The Dick, and that's Boogie Nights. So Patrick Wilson and Malene Ackerman.
Oh. Okay. Now she's very funny in Couples Retreat, and it's not that. Patrick Wilson, or is it that? No, it's not that. It's definitely not that. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
No, it's Watchmen.
I've never heard of that in my
You never heard
life.
That one? No, it's a great film.
No, it's not real. Sounds fake.
It's okay. It's all about people that make watches. No, it's not. It's a superhero movie. Anyway, but let's not go down that road. William Hurt and Kathleen Turner.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
a
I think
bit
it's
before
in,
your time. That one, I think.
That's in suitcase laughing and the infinite chuckles.
Wouldn't that be amazing if you got one of those right? It was like that, and it was actually suitcase laughing and infinite chuckles. It's actually Body Heat. That one, Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton.
They're not real people. You can't just make people up.
I can because I'm doing the quiz, you see. I'm allowed to do what I like because I make the quiz.
Rush Hour.
It's not. It's actually The Terminator.
That's what I said. Oh, do you know what? I've never seen The Terminator.
Well, you're never going to get that one.
Or Terminator 2.
That is about as 80s sex scene as you're going to get with saxophone playing and soft focus and silhouettes and all that, yeah. Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette.
That's gotta be in what is it, like Zootopia, probably.
It was the X-rated version of Zootopia. It was True Romance. Marlon Brando and Maria Schneider. Let me just say that like a stick of butter is also something that goes with this one as well. The
oh my
look
God.
On your
who,
face
Marlon
there.
Brando
the look on your face there. She
like
said, I don't know what
so
this
much.
Movie is, but I want to watch it right now.
I know. Marlon Brando and who?
Maria Schneider. And a stick of butter.
No. This is obviously, this is clearly gone in 60 seconds.
It's
famously.
The last tango in Paris that had an anal sex scene with a stick of butter that was used as well. Very famous.
Did it?
It did, yeah.
God, I'm living under a rock.
I gotta
watch
you've got
this.
So much stuff.
Ass butter.
Indeed, ass butter. That's what it should be. The last tango in Paris. Brackets, ass butter. That's what it should be. Michael
the
Douglas and Sharon
tango
Stone.
Tango in Paris, butter. No, ignore me.
It was close. That was almost genius. That was almost like Fast 10, your seatbelts. So close.
Thank you.
Michael
you
Douglas and Sharon
win.
Stone, the final one. What do you reckon?
Oh, is that Basic Instinct?
That is Basic Instinct? Oh, yeah, it is Basic Instinct.
Okay.
No, I still can't say it.
Yeah.
There you go. 3
Baker's
out of 10. That's not bad. That's not bad.
That is bad. That's literally bad.
But I have to say that as you are a high-profile guest, I am not going to say that was shit at the quiz, am I? I'm going to say that was great. You were great.
Thank
that was
so
fantastic.
Much.
Because every
Thank
point every point
that.
Is equal to like 7 points. So actually, you got 21 out of 10. Okay, so well done.
Oh, I hope everyone in the UK and Ireland is as nice to me as you are.
Well,
I hope all the audiences give me a really good score and lots of dings.
Yeah, hopefully they'll give you loads of dings. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the top 10. What's your number 5, Michelle?
My number five is the Cruel Intentions picnic kiss.
Right.
Between Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair. Yeah. This is the one that I thought might have a crossover with you.
It was very close. It was in my top 15, without a doubt. It didn't quite make my top 10, but it was, yeah, kind of one of those, a bit like Wild Things. It has to be in there somewhere.
Yes, this was formative for me. I went to see Cruel Intentions when I was, I went to see it at the cinema and I was too young. I was maybe like 8 years old or something like that, but I had an older sister and she wanted to go see it and she was meant to be babysitting me, I think. So she just took me to see Cruel Intentions. Let me tell you, it changed my life.
Really?
I was obsessed with it. Yes, I was so obsessed with it. I know every line of it. Like, I could do it like a play. There are two things I could do. I could do an entire One Woman Les Mis. I know every single word. And an entire One Woman Cruel Intentions.
Really?
I could just do it.
Have you ever thought about doing that, where you play all the characters and you have to kiss yourself? That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I feel like I respect my audience a little bit too much. Although, who knows? Have you seen Cruel Intentions, the musical? Do you know it's a musical?
Oh, I haven't. No, I haven't seen the musical.
It's so funny. It's just really, like, it's all the soundtrack songs plus some other bangers that they, I guess they couldn't get the rights to particular songs that were in it. But it's just really funny to see a bunch of, like, musical theater grads, like, very serious in 90s garb, looking up into the exit sign and being like, sucker, love this, heaven sent I. It's really good. Like, it's really good stuff.
Is it supposed to be
musical.
Funny?
It doesn't take itself seriously. I hope so.
Right.
I hope so. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be camp and fun. Like, right. I don't think they're taking it too seriously, but it's definitely not a parody. So okay. I think it's walking a fine line, and I think it does it well.
So is that Sarah Michelle Gellar pre-Buffy, or is that during her time as Buffy?
I think it was during the filming of season two.
Right, okay.
Season one or two, yeah. Or, like, they came out around the same time, which is crazy. Can you imagine?
What I'm thinking. You got all these people that are thinking what she is, and then she's off doing that kind of stuff.
It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
Okay.
She's so good.
That's very good. But, yeah, that's like I say, like Wild Things, that kind of has to be in there somewhere. Okay, my number five. Again, this one's more for comedy than anything else. It's a movie called The Tall Guy with Jeff Goldblum. And Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
And they do have a sex scene together where they absolutely wreck a bedroom. And it's one of the funniest sex scenes I've ever seen. It's a great British comedy that was directed by a guy called Mel Smith, who's sadly no longer with us and was part of the Not the 9 o'clock News comedy team that had
cool.
Pamela Stevenson and Rowan Atkinson.
Yes.
And if you ever get a chance, it's a really good movie. It's really funny. But this sex scene,
great.
Yeah, it's just crazy because it's not, although you see, I mean, Emma Thompson, they're both naked, but they are like banging their heads on pianos and falling out of cupboards and breaking the bed and breaking the curtains. It's just madness. But it's...
That's great. I love that.
If anyone gets a chance, if you get a chance to see it, it must be out there somewhere. Okay, your number four then, please.
Okay, my number four was very recent. It was Saltburn.
Oh,
and it's
my
not
Lord.
The bath.
Okay.
It's the bit where this is just like straight up horny and it's a bit gross, but it's the one where she's like outside and Barry Keoghan comes out and he just all of a sudden becomes confident and you're like, what's going on? And she tells him that she has her period and he says, lucky I'm a vampire. Something happened to me. Something insane happened to me. And I was like, okay, Barry Keoghan, okay. It was, you know, famously not a very big man, but I am fascinated with him as if he were a very large person, like huge, big, tall. He's a giant to me now. That was incredible.
I mean, he's not small when it comes to the end of the movie and he's dancing around to Murder on the Dance Floor. I mean, he looks quite a big guy.
That's true. But I just like, now he's like a statue in my mind of like a giant. Like, I'm like, that was such a good scene. It was crazy. What were your feelings about Saltburn?
It was really weird because I was one of those people that kind of, you heard about it all before you saw it. So you were kind of thinking, I don't know whether I built myself up because everyone's going, my God, this is the worst film you've ever, as in shocking things, and I was waiting for shocking things to happen. And then, like with the bathroom scene and things like that, I thought, okay, is that it? And then I kind of at the end of it, I thought it had a really good twist at the end. And that Barry Keoghan is a great actor. I think he's going to be the next generation of you're just one of the top actors.
Surely.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It didn't quite have the same feeling for me as it did with other people, but I could see why people were there were some moments in that movie that kind of really made you sit back in your seat a little bit.
I loved it. I thought it was so good. I loved Saltburn. I'm a real Saltburn fan. I thought it was the best. So horny, so much excess, so wild. Just like, what if we did this? Yeah, okay. It feels like a movie that no one got in her way of making. Does that make sense? Which
absolutely.
I love. I love
Which
that.
Doesn't really happen a lot these days. Does it?
It never happens. Everything's so watered down. Yeah. So it's just like, oh, good. Something that makes you feel something. It's and really nice.
What I find interesting, because you say that there's so many people that I know that have watched Saltburn and God, what a load of shit that was. And there's so many people that I know that have said that was the best movie I saw in years.
And I think that's great. I love that. Mm. I think that's amazing. I don't know. I'm all about the excess and I just want to feel everything. Have you seen All of Us Strangers?
No, I haven't. No, not yet. No.
I've just realized this should be in my top 10. There's a very horny scene in All of Us Strangers, but also it is so beautiful. Anyway, I'm just all about excess. No, this is what I'm saying. People to go there in the movies.
I take it you've seen Poor Things.
Oh my God, I've seen. I love
with
Poor
Emma
Things.
Stone.
I love.
I was 1 minute laughing my way through it, and then I was going, "What the fuck is going on? Why is Willem Dafoe burping out bubbles? What the?" And I didn't realize there was going to be so many. Not so many sex scenes in there, but there was nothing in there that was like gratuitous in regards to it being sexy. It was more about
it wasn't sexy
at all, but there was so much in there that I was so surprised. But it was so, I mean, Emma Stone absolutely deserved her Oscar for that performance. She was fantastic.
Yeah, totally. It was great. It was such so good. It was really fearless. And I loved that she didn't, because I don't think she did. A lot of people say she sort of fell into that Born Sexy Yesterday trope. I don't think she did. I don't think she was she was sexualized, but it was all her own doing. She didn't move slowly. She was this kind of janky, just getting it done.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great film. If anybody hasn't seen it, make sure you go and see it, because it was just such a
Go see it.
Yeah. Number four. Now I'm going right back in time now to a movie called Cannonball Run. Have you ever seen Cannonball Run?
No, so I've just been living my life.
No, indeed. Well, it's a movie that came out, I think, in probably late 70s with Burt Reynolds. Have you ever heard? You must know who Burt Reynolds is. Yeah.
I know who Burt Reynolds is. Do you think I'm 10?
Well, I mean, you probably weren't even born when the Cannonball Run came out. But it was a movie that had so many stars in it. And it had Farrah Fawcett Majors, who was one of Charlie's Angels, on it. And I hadn't seen the film for ages. And I saw it last year. And I forgot a scene where Burt Reynolds, over a crowded bar, sees Farrah Fawcett Majors. And the camera, it's a wide-angle shot of Farrah Fawcett at the bar. And you could rest your hat on her nipples. They were just sticking out. And I forgot completely about it. And I thought, that is just beautiful. I mean, she's a lovely, beautiful woman anyway. She's always been one of my pinup girls, if you like, because I'm obviously older. But that I forgot. I thought, oh my God, I completely forgot about that scene. And it just took my breath away. It literally took my breath away.
Yes.
And
I would love that.
It is such a funny movie. There are so many great people in it, old style stars, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., or the young Jackie Chan's in it. Roger Moore, it's all about a motor car race, but an illegal one. But it's so funny, and it's got the very famous bloopers at the end. But Farrah Fawcett is just gorgeous in that, absolutely gorgeous.
Hell yeah,
indeed. Okay, your number three, then, please, Michelle.
My number three is from the Fast and Furious 5, when Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in hospital, and he has a cast on his arm. And then he looks at the TV, looks at the news, and he realizes his team needs him, and his daughter's there, his little girl. and he flexes his arm and the cast explodes. And he says, "Daddy's got to go to work." This is not horny in terms of like actually being horny, but it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
So I had to put it in.
Okay,
it's so funny.
That's fair enough.
And I think for some people it would be horny.
Oh, if you had Dwayne The Rock Johnson lying in bed and he flexed his muscles and said, "Daddy's got to go to work." I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people that would love that situation, wouldn't they?
So funny. What a funny thing to say.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But
that's
a great Hollywood line, isn't it? No one would say that in real life. That's just a movie
line. It's just silly. I love the Fast and Furious franchise because I think it's musical theater for boys. And it's just high camp. It's so silly and amazing. I love it. I could talk about it for 20 years.
There you go. Well, I mean, that's another top 10. Working out what your 10 Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious.
Which order you'd put them in, see? Okay, I'm going back, way back again to, I think it's mid to late 70s, maybe even 80s. But Bo Derek in 10 with Dudley Moore. Bo Derek was like the face and the body of like late 70s, early 80s. And Dudley Moore, who was like a very famous British comedian, he was only like 5'6", something like that. And that was like his big break in Hollywood. And they have a sex scene in the movie. But it's more just the fact that Bo Derek and Farrah Fawcett were like the faces and the bodies of sort of late 70s Hollywood. So I had to put Bo Derek in there because I was of that age. So I was around 11, 12, you know, just wondering what all these funny feelings were and, you know, why certain things were happening and I couldn't understand it and I didn't know what was going on. And they kind of, those kind of women kind of helped me understand what was going on a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Totally.
Yeah. So that's my number three. Okay then, Michelle, your number two then, please.
My number two is in The Lion King when Scar sings Be Prepared.
Now you're going to tell me the real number two, aren't you? You're not going to tell me
that's my number two.
Okay.
When I was... it's horny. Scar was so sexy. Like, I know he's lion and I know he's animated, but the voiceover, something, I don't know what it is. He had great eyebrows. He was a bad boy. I don't know. It was a toss up between him and Aladdin, like, stealing the bread.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I thought you meant Jafar as well. You know when, Jafar also. I like Aladdin. I like Jafar. They're all invited. Do you know what I mean? But Scar, there's something special about Scar. I don't know what's wrong with me. But this is just, I had to be honest about this.
Okay.
I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, that's something's going on.
Right. So would it be if you heard Jeremy Irons in another movie? Would that also sort of float your
voice.
Boat?
Yes. I think so.
Okay. That's interesting.
But it was just like, something happened. I was like, this song rules, the choreography rules. I don't know. I can't tell you what happened to me. But I'm not going to be alone in this. I promise you there will be listeners who are like, yes. Or they'll like say a different line. But
I'll tell you what, I wish that...
You're looking at me like I'm crazy, but everyone wants to fuck a Disney character. Why are you looking at me like this?
What's going to get me is when I do the video playlist for this and people look down and say horniest moments in TV and it's got The Lion King, Be Prepared on there. They're going to think, what the fuck is going on? Actually, they might go, need to listen to this episode. I wish that Jeremy Irons was on Cameo because I would pay to get him to send you a message where he says... Daddy's got to go to work. I would love to get Jeremy Irons to say, "Daddy's got to go to work" for you. That would be amazing.
I'd pass imagine? Away.
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't know what to do.
Simply pass away.
Oh, dear. Okay. My number two, I think she's the most beautiful woman that's ever lived. And I'm going for Marilyn Monroe in Some Like It Hot, which is the movie that she did with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon. And especially when she's in the sequins. Sort of dress, but it's sort of almost like see-through The top part of it is see-through, yeah, and the bottom part, yes, is black. But she's, I don't think she's ever looked sexier in that. And especially when it's the kissing scene with Tony Curtis, where Tony Curtis is pretending that he's never been satisfied for years and years because it's a medical condition. So she tries to keep kissing him just to see if, and his glasses steam up. I mean, what a lucky man Tony Curtis was. You can imagine him just fucking up takes just to keep doing that. Although I think he was quoted as saying that it was like kissing Hitler. Although how he knows that, I'll never know. I'm never going to ask that question. But
that's crazy that they kiss so similarly. I wouldn't have thought.
I didn't think that Marilyn Monroe had a little tash. I really didn't think she did, but maybe she has.
I've never seen it, but yeah, maybe she has it.
Maybe she has. Okay, we get to our number one now. If Lion King, Be Prepared is your number two, Jesus Christ, buckle in, everybody. Buckle in. It's going to be Teletubbies or something, isn't it? I know it's going to be the Wiggles.
I'm not a perv. No, my number one is in Fleabag, the scene with the hot priest where he tells her to kneel.
Right, yeah.
That's my number one, for
that
sure.
Makes perfect
Do you know the
sense.
Scene I'm talking
I
about?
I do. That's such, Fleabag's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
That's good. I mean, the thing is I feel like a lot of people haven't seen Fleabag. It kind of like passed a lot of people
what?
By. But anybody that I know, if you mention Fleabag to people, I've never met anybody that goes, yeah, it was okay. Everybody says how great it is.
It was so good. Mm. Yeah, it was incredible. And this scene was the horniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is a great one. That is a great one. I love it when she breaks the fourth
wall. What is yours?
Mine.
Yeah, she's great.
As you will see from my background, I'm a massive Star Wars fan.
Oh,
and my true awakening was Carrie Fisher in a gold bikini in Return of the Jedi. I was 13 years old at the time when that movie came out. So that for me, it defined my early enlightening years, you know. It's just anything about it. And
wow.
It kind of had to be, really. Carrie Fisher is one of those women that always did it for me, really. And that's ingrained in my DNA.
Sense.
Yeah, ingrained in my DNA.
Carrie Fisher is, she's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never really watched Star Wars, but I probably
Anyway,
should.
Thank you, Michelle. It was lovely to speak to you. And now, how can you say that when I've got all this around me? I've never really seen Star Wars.
I do want to, but it just feels like I need to do it with some sort of reverence because it's such a big thing. But I will say about Star Wars is like, if there's one like thing that Star Wars fans all have in common, it's that they all hate Star Wars. Like you guys hate it. You complain about it all the time. Why are you so mad at the thing that you love?
It's all stems from Rian Johnson. I think it's Rian Johnson and episode 8. I can go deep into this what I hate is the fact that it used to be a wonderful community being a Star Wars fan, and then it turned toxic and it turned hateful, and now it seems like the only way that people get clicks on YouTube now is just to slag it off all the time. And
I hate that.
Kind of come to peace now that the original trilogy and the Mandalorian are my thing, and everything else can just it can be either good or bad. It doesn't really matter. I've got my trilogy that's my trilogy, and I love it, and I love it to death. And everything else that they make, I might watch it and like it, I might not, but I'm not going to get too et up about it. So I'll let everybody else moan and complain about it. But okay, before we've got some honorable mentions, which I'll just fire through. Maria Pereira said, basically every moment on screen between Matthew McFadden and Keira Knightley in the 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, Regency era edging at its finest.
I respect that. I think that's right.
Kendra Gross Tapia said 16 Candles at the end with Jake Ryan. Anna Cochran said Porkies and Flesh Gordon. And she said, I'm sure I'll think of more. I'm sure she will. Simple Tan Marin said One Night in Heaven, teacher and stripper romance. Okay. I've never heard of that. Never heard of that. Ross Carpenter says, The Dreamers, Eva Green and Michael Pitt on the bed, or her dress as Aphrodite, or any scene from the film. I've never seen The Dreamers, but Eva Green, I mean, no. She's... Yeah. Wolf of Wall Street,
beautiful.
Margot Robbie in the doorway, American Pie, Shannon Elizabeth as Nadia, Ammonite, Kate Winslet scenes were hot, Game of Thrones, episode one, sister stripping before walking into the pool. I said to my wife, actually, I said, can you tell me, think of any great Game of Thrones sex scenes? And she sort of come back and went, actually, they're all really nasty, the sex scenes. There's nothing
they're
really...
All...
It's rape, or it's just like horrible. Yeah. And I always think of, you think of horny stuff, think, oh, well, Game of Thrones must have something, but they were all really nasty.
Yeah. I think like Pedro Pascal was sexy in it.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt anyone. Or, well, I mean, yeah, he got killed. Anyway, I don't know. It's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. Basic Instinct, Sharon Stone interview. Ross also says, Cruel Intentions, kiss between Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair. Sally Forever, comedy series, Julia Davis and Catherine Shepherd, scissoring. Okay, I'll have to look at that. Wolf of Wall Street, Margot Robbie in high heels and short skirt on the floor by the armchair. Oh, I remember that one. Laura Bourne says, whenever Mr. Rochester gets rowdy with Jane in any adaptation of Jane Eyre, there you go. Dawn Sardella Ayres.
Okay.
I still prefer Wet Firth. Oh, I see, as in Colin Firth. Is there anything hotter than Wet Firth? There you go.
That's so funny. That feels very British to
that
me.
That does.
Like... Lindsay
says, in Adam and the Ant, Stand and Deliver, the lip lick and eye roll when he sings All Mine. Jodie Coop, Yokota, Cruel Intentions and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And Francisco Arzu says, the pottery scene in Ghost.
Oh yeah, so, the pottery scene in Ghost. We should have put that in one of our top 10.
I was going to say, I think there's one. I mean, I've won the challenge because we didn't get any. I mean, but if I knew we were going to be really honest, I would have put Lion King, Be Prepared as well. If I knew we were really going to put our cards on the table, I really would have done that. So before we actually say goodbye, so the show's coming to the UK in May and June. Do you know the dates off the top of your head? Do you know when they are?
Of course not. Of course I don't know them off the top of my head. What are you talking about? No, it starts like early May and I finish up in London at Clapham Grand. I think on like the 7th of something of June. That's probably not true though. Let me open my calendar. Do you have them?
I've only got the, let me see. I could click on the link.
Okay, no, look, I have them. I have them.
You've got them.
I think Dublin. I think, what does that say? Dublin on the 16th.
Nice.
I start in Brighton on the 14th. And then I go to Newcastle on the 18th of May, Glasgow on the 19th of May. I'm so excited. 21st, Manchester, 22nd, Leeds, 23rd, Bath, 28th. I'm going to read them all. 28th, Birmingham, 29th, Cardiff, like in Doctor Who.
Nice.
30th, Bristol, 31st, Exeter. The 1st of June is Southampton. First one. The 4th is Cambridge.
First one,
and the
4th
is London.
That was
first
done,
one four.
Done like
it
a professional.
It is 6 a.m.
It is 6 a.m. indeed. I want to see you go on.
I think I have another place in Ireland. I don't think I'm just doing Dublin, right? Did I say?
You said Dublin.
I'm not a scientist.
No.
Oh, no, wait.
No.
Belfast.
There
doing
you go.
Belfast on the 17th.
There
yes.
you go. But
I'm
if
so
you really
excited.
That's if you really want to have a look anyway, click the link that's in the show notes. That'll
give
you all
the
info.
Internet. Don't listen to me.
That'll give you all the links for you to be able to get tickets and go and see Michelle. Good luck with the tour and good luck with anything.
Thanks.
What have you got planned for the rest of the day?
I am going to wake everyone in the house up and say, I did it. I did the podcast. Come on, guys. Let's all have breakfast. And no, I think I'm going to go back to sleep for one human hour.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go drive across town to somewhere else in LA and have some, do another podcast and then do some meetings and then.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just meetings, baby.
I'm sure you'll rush home, wait for the post just to see if the keys of Hollywood are coming through your door.
I will. Yes, I will. And I'm sure that they will come. They'll probably send me like a ceremonial seatbelt or something like that. I wonder if Vincent Diesel will come and present me with it or if I'll figure it out. I'll find out.
He'll knock on the door and he'll say, Daddy's got to go to work. That's what he'll say. That's what he's going to say. You know he is.
If you've heard this podcast, come and say that to me after my show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't that be fun? That's got to be a t-shirt
yeah.
now.
I hang around and meet everyone. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
That's so good. if anyone wants to get in touch with us, obviously all the information is in the show notes, whether it's Patreon, email, social media, all of that stuff. Michelle, it's been an absolute honour to speak to you. It's been so much fun.
Thank you.
And,
Thanks so much.
Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the freedom of Hollywood. And
thank you.
For everybody else, thank you very much for watching and listening. Now, Daddy's got to go to work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.